Well, we are live, and we're back at it for another episode of Off the Rail. I'm Tom, you know me, from the Triple Clowns. Guess who I have back? AJ, he's been on sabbatical for the past month or so. Shout out to Joe for filling in for him. We came close to the big Philly Big Five last week, missed by one race. But that was last week. This is this week. And you're not here to talk. You're not here to hear me talk. You're not here to listen to AJ talk. We have a very, very, very special guest tonight. And she, I'm going to lead off with, she is one of the most positive people on Twitter. She describes herself as a weird horse girl. She started her career as a hot walker at Rockingham Park, and she's done about everything in this beautiful sport. She's worked on the Mutual line. She worked at Suffolk Downs for 13 years, from intern all the way up to senior VP of marketing. She was the broadcast handicapper there as well. She's also a writer. She was the president of the New England Turf Writers Association. Currently, she's working as a broadcaster for guess where? Sam Houston. And I'm sure we might see her Colonial Downs this summer. Loves that turf. She refers to herself, like I said, as a weird horse girl. And when she's not talking about horses, she's riding them because she's, by the way, she's also an equestrian. She's a lover of Chuck Taylors, rescue dogs, and she runs further than I can drive. This we're very honored to have Sam Houston's own Jessica Pack get to cap this late pick four with us. Jessica, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. That was a lovely introduction.
I'm actually impressed with the introduction by Tom there. Wow. Good research, my man.
Yeah, well done.
Hey, yeah, I had to put it all out there, and I don't know if I mentioned rescue dogs. So
one's not a rescue. One showed and was so I'm very supportive of rescues though.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love your all your pictures of your dogs and just everything that you do. And you're such, like I said, all kidding aside, you're such a positive force out on Twitter, and with a lot of the negativity, especially lately, it's refreshing to see a picture of your dog helping you handicap or just like, hey, I just ran like 75 miles.
Oh, getting back there. That's in October.
And the baddest ass thing that you've done, and then we can talk about Sam Houston, is that New York Times wrote an article about her, AJ. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
And this was back in the summer. And the coolest thing, should I wrap my holiday presents in this article? And she put something out, whether it was a question or a Twitter poll or something. Hell yeah, you should. And she did. That was the coolest damn thing.
It was the front page of the entire sports section. So I had to do a gift for a Yankee swap, so I thought that's how I should wrap it.
I don't understand why that's not in the background of all the things you have up there right now. Why is that not framed?
It is definitely framed. And okay. I was peak awkward when I went to get it framed. I like went to my little local framer with my New York Times that I'm on the cover of the sports section, and he's just like doing the thing, and he didn't notice. And I was like, but that's me. That's me right there.
Just hold it up. It's me. This is me.
On the cover of the New York Times, I mean, your dog helps you handicap. I mean, Bill Belichick's dog helped him draft players for the NFL draft. I mean, you're doing everything right. You're doing everything right.
Yeah. It is what it is, but I'm doing what I can do here.
Well, really appreciate you coming on with us. And this is the first time we're attacking Sam Houston. Yeah. Really excited. They don't run all the time when we're on. For those of us that don't play it as often as you, you were just down there last weekend. Can you give us some tips, any insights? Is there a golden rail, dead rail? How's the track been running before we get into this?
You know, I think the track's been playing pretty fair. If anything, maybe the turf course has a little bit of a speed bias. I think it's always a little kind to front runners, but it's been a very, very fair, very safe track. A lot of credit to the track maintenance folks. They've kept the track in really good order through kind of a difficult winter weather-wise. One thing, you know, I think everyone should know as they start handicapping Sam Houston, it is very easy to get very seduced by all of these short-priced Steve Asmussen, Stuart Elliott horses. Oh, don't shit. Do it. They're not all unbeatable. You have to pick your spots. This is that's a spot where you can really find some value because they do tend to get a little bit over bet and they're not going to win every race.
And we are used to seeing that at Parks with Jamie Ness and Ruben Silvera or Jamie Rodriguez. It's the same mentality when up here as opposed to the Stewie Elliott. By the way, Canadian National Treasure Stuart Elliott.
Suffolk Downs National Treasure Stuart
yes,
Elliott.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think yeah, we go back and
Suffolk Downs
Stuart,
in like
yes.
in the 1980s. And he was the award.
He was a jockey when I was a security guard back when they used to call it Philadelphia Park. He was a jockey there as well. But in Smarty Jones, he's, of course. Yeah. Yeah. But cool. Well, that's some good stuff. You've got some fans here, Keith and Dennis, loving your stuff, Jessica. So without further ado, let's talk about this pick four. Where do we start, AJ, with race six?
That is exactly right. Race six, a maiden special weight for 4 and 5 year olds. This one is going 1 mile, and hopefully it stays on the turf. Knowing our luck, it probably won't, but this one's for 36K. I don't know. We didn't discuss prior who's starting this off. So
I'll start off and then we'll just go round robin and you can start with race seven. You were 2 seconds late, so we already went over that, AJ. Jessica and I have got this covered. Speak of the devil, and there's Sean Patrick Nolan, Jessica.
The real best.
There is the other most positive person on Twitter right there.
So. I'm in a good company being included with SPN in any context.
let's get into it. Race six. I heard something about Stuart Elliott and Steve Asmussen pricing, but we won't go to that horse just yet. I started off my pick four with the two Fayette Blue. I think Penny, this is a whole weather situation. I think this horse is going to jump out front. The question is, can she hold it? Will she get any pressure from the one or the three? What I did like about she threw up an 84 Equibase figure on the turf. I think this horse has the ability to be a very decent turf horse. Hasn't had that many opportunities just yet. Another horse that I am playing with is the three Magical Stardust. Came up short last time out in January. Gets Lane Luzzi in the irons. I think that might help Magical Stardust a little bit. Again, just came up short. I do like this. We're going a mile. I think she can hold it out there. And then I ended this pick. Excuse me. I ended up the race six with later on the number five horse. I am on a run happy winning streak. I think with like a lot of other people, I look at the pedigree of this horse. I throw out that last start, settled down a little bit, but we have a different jockey in the irons. And I think the Stewie is a Canadian National Treasure, Suffolk Down National Treasure, Parks National Treasure. One thing he is good at is that he's a good gate jockey. This horse later on kind of struggled last time out, coming out of the gate. I think with Stewart it's a young horse, but I think Stewart might be able to get her track going on the right way. So I did 2-3-5 for race six.
Is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I am weirdly on two of your horses. I absolutely love, love, love the two. Fayette Blue, who's coming back now. I think it's second start at Houston after being in high, high level main special weights at Keeneland, Churchill, out there in Kentucky, even tried one on the dirt at Indiana Grand, now comes here. It's second start at Houston. When this horse didn't look all that bad, I didn't think. So coming back, second start, 5-2. Yes, please. And then also, I did agree with the three Magical Stardust, who's coming from a main claimer at Fairgrounds, comes up main special weight here at Houston, ran very well, gets a second opportunity. I like the opportunity there. I actually didn't even take the Asmussen horse. I went with a horse coming from its for its second career start ever with a, I guess, a friend of the show, a Melanson in the irons. And that's the Four Blood Temple getting its second career start for short. And look, some of these horses, some of these young horses, you never know what you're going to see, you know, once they get a race under their belt. So 15-1, I said, yeah, well, let's give it a shot.
Out of Temple City. I like it.
The Blood Temple. I don't know where you got Temple City.
That's the sire.
Oh, and that's I'm like, actually, that is not the name of the horse, but
that's actually where I went here as well. I thought I was being clever picking this horse as a big long shot. I think this horse has a ton of upside. I like the added distance for her as well. And Temple City on the turf, sort of a no-brainer. You're also seeing that same sire line with Magical Stardust, who I also give a big chance here. Lane Luzzi and J.R. Caldwell have been super, super live this season. The horses are all kind of running to form, running very well. And of the true, like, local horsemen, like, I think of Steve Asmussen, sort of a, you know, big national outfit, even though he's very much Texas, has Texas roots. You will not find horses that look better than J.R. Caldwell's. They just come in, exceptional. I think it boils down to those two. I like Later On a little bit. I like Run Happy as a developing sire as they get a little bit older. On the turf as a four-year-old, some upside there. And I do think the horse should come out of the gate a little bit better. I'm always a little surprised when a Steve Asmussen horse doesn't break that well. They're usually schooled pretty pretty well out of the gate. And I don't like her two at all, though. I'm leaving her off my ticket entirely.
Okay. No. Just out of curiosity, why don't you like the two?
I don't think she wants to go mile. Okay. I don't like the way she backed up last time. She kind of had a pretty soft lead against what I don't think is maybe as tough of a group as she's up against here. And she backed up out of it pretty quickly. And maybe she needed one off the layoff shore. Does have some class, but I'm not sure she really wants to go any farther than that either.
Interesting. Okay. So you're doing
so many emotions there. You came out, you backed one of my picks, and then you just, you know, bashed one of my picks. I don't know how to feel.
I didn't say no.
She didn't bash.
kind of.
She, you know, so just, if you're playing the exotics here, like 12% takeout's great, but you still can't, you know, you don't want to make a huge, huge ticket if you're doing a horizontal.
Exactly. That's exactly right. All right. So AJ, you went 2, 3, 4, and Jessica, you have the 3 and the 4, correct?
The five, the three, and the Blood Temple's the 4. I have a typo in my notes.
Yeah.
So the 3, 4, and 5.
3, 4, and 5. I'm sorry. Okay. Very good. Cool. All right. Well, race 7, and AJ, why don't you start us up, bud?
Yeah, let's move on to the second leg of this pick 4, race 7. We are going a mile, switching over to the dirt. This one is for 3-year-olds and up. But this time we are bumping it up in class and going a mile for 37,000 in an allowance level class race. I don't remember who's first. I'm sorry.
You are, man.
Oh, it's my turn. Hell yeah, yeah. Let's go. So this might be my deepest leg because I think there's some prices maybe to get here. And I started off with the 2, Motap. And based off its most recent performance, which clearly had a great, great number as far as time form is concerned, and then has been improving every single time this horse has gone out. Second last time out, 8-1. I thought this was a very good play at 8-1. The other one I went with was the 8, Spite and Malice. Another one who just missed at this same level last time at 6 furlongs. Clearly, I think this horse could probably go longer. 8-1. Hell yeah. Give it to me. The 9, Cost Average. I forgot to write down a note about this one, but look. Hey, look, I can see real fast. Last time at a mile, just missed by a neck and got 3rd. So I'm guessing that's where I'm going with that one. Okay. And yeah. And then look, hey, the 6, Lucky Special. I don't know anything about these trainers or these jockeys, but I do know numbers. Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to tell me I'm wrong again and how much I love this horse. But this horse, you know, given the numbers, especially after a massive, massive maiden special weight win, comes back, just misses by a length and a half at this same level at 6 furlongs. We'll see if this horse can go a mile. If this horse can go a mile, I'm going to get 6-1. So I'm happy with that too. So those are the four. That's the four deep I went. I went 2, 6, 8, 9.
Lots of good stuff. Wow.
And I think I covered the rest of the field with my pick. So between us, we have this race down.
Yes.
I like number one, Texas Skywalker. I thought he looked like a good thing, breaking his maiden on February 9th. Ronnie Cravens, Ernesto Valdez Jimenez. These are super live Sam Houston connections. Ronnie's a multi-generational Texas horseman. Super job, and his horses have just been popping up at these big prices. I think a mile seems within this one's scope. I don't think he wants to go any farther, but I think we can do a mile. One of my handicapping rules when I'm handicapping a non-winners of two kind of race is less starts the better, or the less tries against winners. I think sometimes a horse can luck into a pretty soft maiden win, but then getting that second victory can be like an entirely different ballgame. So I like the momentum of a horse coming in off of a maiden win, which he has. And I'm also a little intrigued by a big long shot, number 4, Silent Disco for Johnny Ortiz, coming in with competitive Oaklawn form, gets Rye Eichelberry aboard, and no one's riding hotter than Rye right now. He had 3 or 4 victories on Friday night's card, just kind of win after win after win. And I think this one, in theory, gets a little pace to run at. Also going to, vaguely intrigued, if I don't mind how big my ticket gets here, I'm going to go the 7, Declaration of Speed, second off the layoff with Jarrett Caldwell and Lane Luzzi. Again, these two are just super live. I liked these, showed some speed and some interest last time out. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and think he might just have needed one off the bench.
1, 4, and 7. I think we literally will have all.
Yeah, I think the field's covered.
Yeah. Not yet. There's one horse that we haven't taken yet.
And you're going to take it, aren't you?
Actually, 2. And I'm, yeah. two of the remaining horses. Yeah.
Perfect.
We're going to start with 3. The 3, Intimidation. I think I can't read my note. Son of a bitch. I do like the 3. Intimidation. I think the January 20th, she came up short, but she was very powerful. I do like the Curlin as the Curlin pedigree.
I mean, this horse is also a half to ride on Curlin, who for whatever that's yes. worth. Maybe those were your notes.
Yeah, and third off of being gelded. Yeah, I think I wrote this before I had my coffee today. So I do like the 3. I do like the 4 that Jessica mentioned. As they say in Glengarry, Glenn Ross always be closing. This horse likes this distance. The way that Silent Disco won back in December from a mile and came up short in Oaklawn in December. I'm sorry. Last time she won, just looked like exactly what she should be doing as a closer. Comes off the pace like Jessica mentioned, and with what we're looking at, 15-1, I'll take that all day. The other horse that I have that we did not cover yet is the 5. This is a weird horse. Can't put 2 decent starts together. But always looks almost decent. Like something happened every time that this horse comes in second or third, some oddball thing happens. And it's, I don't want to say the horse is distracted, but sometimes it might not be the horse's fault. If we're going on that theory, horse, she didn't look too good last time out. I think we might get a break. And as we clearly showed, this race is pretty wide open. Looked poor last time out, but think she might be look great back in Indiana in December. I'm sorry, in November. So we'll see what happens in February. So I went 3, 4, 5.
Did we not cover anybody?
Jessica had the 1. You had the 2. I had the 3. I had the 4. I had the 5. Nobody.
I had the six.
Jessica had the seven, and you had the eight.
I had the eight and the nine. All right,
and that is the beauty of handicapping is one of us will be right.
I don't think we've ever had that happen.
There was no overlap at all, though, right?
That is one of the most magnificent things about handicapping, though, is that you can put three people, give them the same information, and they are going to find an entirely different thing out of it.
Well, the only overlap was the bomber, the four, the closer. Silent Disco with the Jessica and I had.
Yeah,
which if I, at this point, I'm betting the house on the four because I don't think we've ever had this sort of like top to bottom disagreement on a card or on a single race ever.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. I love that so much, especially when one of my four horses wins.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. A first, Jessica. So
you know, happy to be the first.
Yeah. We've been doing this since June or so, and for every
there is a lot of bragging rights at stake now. All of a sudden, in this one, I feel like so. Well, between me and Tom, obviously.
I've been a public handicapper for a long time. There is nothing I still get more satisfying. Like I find more satisfying than being publicly right. It never gets old. Never does.
Well, this is a big one for this show. So if you're right here, then you have an open invitation.
I can just retire
whenever,
after last night.
Yeah. Off
into the sunset.
Off the rail. You know what? We're good.
I'm good.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, let's see if we can. How crazy would it be if we did it again here at race eight?
Yes. So race eight, we're going back to the turf, hopefully this time at a mile. This one is for 4 and 5 year olds. It is a maiden special weight bout for $36,000. I do believe, Jessica, now you are first up.
Excellent. Well, this is one of those races where it's less of a case of I have a strong opinion for, but more of a strong opinion against. I think number six, Rishborg, going to be way, way over bet here. This horse has some pedigree to him. He's a half to Denman's Call. His dam's a half to Evening Jewel. But he has shown pretty much nothing so far. And I don't know what about today is going to be the thing that makes him make that big step forward. I mean, he gets Leslie aboard, which is a pro for me. I think he's riding very well. But at that price, no way. Hard pass. I'm going to go with number eight. That's Wyome. Mindy Willis is a barn to watch at Sam Houston.
Okay.
Not usually first off the layoff. She's a pretty conservative trainer, and they usually need a race or two, but they run. She's a really sharp horsewoman as well. Does a lot, gets them body work, chiropractor, that sort of thing. And they come into the races feeling their absolute best. The Willis barn really live second off the layoff. And I don't think this one showed a really bad effort last time out. Was engaged, just came up short. I think he'll be a lot sharper second time out.
Like it. So just single on the eight.
I'm going to single the eight. Why not?
I love it.
Wow.
I love it. Okay. No, that's. See, this is why we bring in the experts.
No, I could be easily be just as wrong as anyone else, but I will confidently go in with my opinion.
That's what it's all about. Now I'm hoping we go off the, for this race. I'm hoping we go off the turf. Because I really like this one spinning year. If we are off the turf, I am definitely playing the one. One of the only horses that hasn't run on the turf. But we might see a surprise here. We're looking at New Year's Day as the sire, and New Year's Day was not necessarily a great one everything on the dirt. Breeders' Cup Juvenile on the dirt horse. The horse hasn't been raced that much. Not setting any world records, but I do like the one. I think the two is going to get out front, and if the two breaks down, the one can definitely get up there on the lead. I do like the six just to cover my bases. I've been staying away from favorites recently, and it's really been burning me. And I said to myself, well, you know what? I gotta start gravitating towards that again, because sometimes they're the favorites because they're the best horse. I see what you're saying, Jessica. But yeah, Lane has been lights out, as they say.
He's a sharp kid, a good rider. I think, you know, his best is still way ahead of him too.
That's good. That's good. I mean, it's only seen folks like that from afar. You hope he's got a good head on his shoulders and stuff. I know he's out there on social media a lot and looks like he's always having a good time. And yeah, and just yeah, that's that. Love that. Love that. And I also have the five here. Forever Home. She showed me something last start time out at a mile. Lost to a very, very good horse. I think there's still more to come with this horse. We saw back in July, lost another heartbreaker. This horse has just had a little bit of a running into couple stronger horses here. Another lightly raced horse that I kind of like where like the works and like where she's going. So I went 1-6-5 here.
So I was not lost on your eight at all, because I do believe that was like right outside of where I wanted to go until Elliot jumps off and goes onto this horse that just doesn't seem worth the time that Asmussen has. And that weirdly,
I think he's just the barn's goat. He's the barn's
goat. If Steve
tells you to ride the horse, you're going to ride.
Right. Steve. I get it. But I just feels like when you get a downgrade in jockey for no apparent reason, I don't know is that weird to me? I don't know.
I don't know if it's necessarily a true downgrade though. I understand like Triana is not a Kentucky Derby winning jockey, but
if this was a horse where he realistically thought he could win, would he stay there?
I think if you are looking,
would he just go with a trainer that's making him money?
There's like a lot of relationship stuff for these jocks and their agents too. I don't know if certain trainers would really like it if you took off even one of their lesser horses to ride someone else.
Thank you. This is Randy, who's watching probably now, and I hope he is. This is why I hate the jockey jump angle. Thank you.
Because it's a business. Like you're gonna.
Yes. You know, I get it.
100%. His big boss is Steve. I wouldn't risk that relationship necessarily for a singular win, even though he does ride a lot of live horses for Mindy Willis.
That being said, I did like the eight. I like the eight a lot, especially 8-1. But in this race, I had to kind of narrow my ticket a little bit. And I just thought, I know you don't like the six, but Chad Brown, Bill Mott, and then Amos takes over for the first time. I'll give Amos and Luzzy a shot for the first time at 9-5. I know it's not the most ideal, but when you look at the numbers, according, you know, to the rest of this field, I don't know if I can trust a lot of the other ones. And then, so I had to take the six. I had to. And then for a long shot here, I went with the three. Should have known better. And I hope that's what everyone's saying outside of me at the end of the day is I should have known better and taken this 4-year-old who was down in Gulfstream for a very long time, comes up to Sam Houston in a very similar situation, misses by a length and a half and gets another opportunity here, different jock. You know, maybe this horse likes, I don't know. This is the best horse or the best race this horse has ran was up here at Sam Houston. So
Valdez Jimenez is a wildly underrated turf rider at Sam Houston. Wildly underrated.
Yeah, all good to know.
Good. I'm glad I didn't have to make my own point.
No, that's
a problem for you. So I went with the favorite and then I took a flyer with the three. So I went 3-6.
I might agree with Dennis in the comments there, which is why I'm leaving him off a ticket.
Oh,
okay. Well,
Dennis doesn't know anything.
Oh, stop! He's part of the triple clowns. He's clown number six.
Which is why I have no fear of saying he doesn't know anything.
Oh, well, we're moving right along, and I don't think we're gonna have.
Love you, Dennis.
I don't think we're gonna have much fluctuation on this last race either. But how far is this going? How far is this one going, AJ?
Well, this one we're gonna go 6.5 furlongs on the dirt here at Sam Houston. This one is for 3-year-olds only. It is a maiden special weight bout for $36,000. Tom, I do believe it is back to you at the top.
All right. I went pretty short here. I went with the 1, Chesterette. I think we have a very perfect placement for this horse. Been looking at the works, nice workouts. He's gonna be chasing the 5, but I don't think the 5 is gonna factor in. I think the 5 is gonna be breaking out quickly and not finish out on the ticket. I was a little bit scared when I capped this. It was pre odds, and I saw the odds today. I'm like, ooh, I'm a little bit scared. I think it's even money right now. I don't like that too much. But with that said, I love first time starters. I love for first time starters with good bloodlines. I do like the 7, Violent Hailstorm, coming out of violence. 4 starts, 2 stake wins. One time finished place in the stakes. I also like this owner trainer. The owner is the trainer of the horse, which is always an interesting angle that I like, especially with some folks who don't have a lot of horses. So they're putting something into there. Just a little bit of a weird angle that has been profitable for me once or twice. So I just went 1-7 here.
All right. Well, I am looking elsewhere. Ooh. My top selection here is the 8. That's Mighty Happy. I like Run Happy so much as a developing sire. I don't think everyone, you know, was very quick to dismiss him as a stallion when they didn't light the world on fire as 2-year-olds.
Right. But
they're getting better, and they are turning out to be actually pretty good. This one showed ability as a 2-year-old at Lone Star. Did nothing wrong, was just very green. Looks like she got some time to mature. I think as a 3-year-old, she'll be a different animal. Brett Calhoun's always live here. I also do like some local connections. That is the 4, Dream Pyre. I've gotten burnt by this horse now twice this season. I've picked her both times, but maybe the third time is the charm. I don't know if she's good enough to win against this group, but I'm using her in my exotics. She's very consistent, obviously has some ability, and I think kind of just needs the stars to align for her to maybe get in the winner's circle or maybe a little class relief to get in the winner's circle. But I think she's good enough to hit the board.
Cool. Yeah, that Mighty Happy was a tough, was probably my last cut. But we'll see what happens tomorrow. And as there's scratches, which there we probably will see, especially if it is off turf, I will probably put that horse on my ticket, depending on what happens.
I'm a little upset because, man, I did not expect anybody else to take Mighty Happy.
Yeah. Because I was
super excited about this horse who went off at Lone Star last time. This horse went off last time at 3-1. And now comes back here to Sam Houston. It's 12-1. Like, why? Because Gutierrez isn't on anymore? I don't know.
I mean, she's coming in off a layoff. She's been away since like June or July, but that's not troubling to me at all.
If you watch our show, you know my big favorite angle is a very young horse who has been off for a very long time and has had a long time to mature and comes back and all of a sudden is like the horse. And I think this is the case here with the 8, Mighty Happy, because I think I don't care what you did your first time out. You got one under your belt. You get a lot of time to train. Now you come back. Now you're focused. Now you're ready. I mean, I think 12-1 is just a price I want to hammer here with the 8. And when our guests say they're on the same page as me in an angle like that, all of a sudden I might bet my entire house on it. I don't know. But no, the other one I did take, this is the first time I know you don't – I don't like the Asmussen Elliott angle. This is the first time.
Oh, no, I like some of them. You just have to pick and find the right ones. I think this one's probably quite live.
Okay.
By all accounts, she's a well-bred first-time starter. Like there's this one, if anything close to 6-1 seems like a steal on this filly.
Okay. So I like the 2, I like the 8. Do you want to tell me anything else that I should take on a horse that I might like? Because I'll just have you, you know, defend my picks if that's okay. I did take the 1 though. Do you want to tell me why I like the 1?
Yeah, tell us why we shouldn't have the 1. Because I like the one, but now I'm all of a sudden lukewarm. Why shouldn't we play the 1?
I'm a little suspect of some of that Oakland form. I don't necessarily think it's that much of a cut above what they're running against here.
Okay. So, I mean, that was kind of my main reason was the class of Oakland coming into here.
They're going to be good maidens.
With a good jockey.
Suspect ones.
It does suck because you're going to get 1-1 and you're probably not going to get, I mean... What are you going to get at that at post time, realistically?
I don't know.
Oakland horse coming here.
You watch the tote board a little bit, right? Like if that Steve Asmussen horse is taking a lot of money, that's probably a good indication she's pretty live, right?
Right.
And if this horse, I mean, Nick makes a good morning line, but, you know, he is not dictating how people bet.
Right.
There's a chance this filly, the 1, opens up, you know, and is cold on the board. And that might be another good indication that maybe that Oakland form isn't so hot.
Do you think that's how the public feels as well? Like if when they're looking at this, you know, PPs and they see the Oakland horse coming in?
I think when you're betting maiden races, it's probably in your best interest to pay attention to the tote board.
Okay.
Goodness. This is why I begin the experts.
Yep.
Especially on a track that this is the first time we've done this track. So this is all well and good, and we can watch the replay. Won't be with the same horses, but the knowledge is still there for this track. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's a really broad thing though. To always when you're at the track or you're betting like a maiden race, you don't have to be a pedigree expert to pay attention to why is this horse taking a ton of money? Someone might, they know, like that old joke that they know, but sometimes they know.
That's true.
Early money or late money better?
I'm actually very interested sometimes in early money. But then just kind of watching as the odds fluctuate, that can be a good way to steer if you love a first time starter and they're, you know, we'll just say like 5-2 on the morning line and like they're just cold, cold, cold. Maybe they're not working so hot or there's something.
Right. I love it.
Cool. Well, so JJ, you're going with the 2-8 then? I'm sorry. Yeah. 2-8.
Say no. 1-2-8. 1-2-8.
You're going to. Okay. Okay. And Jessica had the 1-8-4.
I'm using the
4. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The 8 and the 4.
Yeah, she didn't like the 1. She didn't like the 1.
I may use the 2.
Cool. Okay. Now, we got a couple minutes. I did want to teach AJ a couple things about Sam Houston outside of the racing. Actually, I want to see how much you know about Sam Houston. So I've got just a couple things that, you know, we're all Texas here all the time. Tonight, I could not get a hold of Texas Tom. Unfortunately, he wanted a little bit too much money to come on this episode. But I've got a question that I know Jessica will get, but I want to ask AJ and see what he knows about Sam Houston.
Oh God!
Now one time a year, usually in February, these animals are raced at the track, and it just happened. And not horses.
And just happened?
Yeah, just happened this past weekend.
It might be happening in March, not this past weekend.
Okay.
That's right. You're right. I'm sorry.
What's the question?
What animals? What other animal races do they have there? There's three types of animals, actually.
Do they do those corgi races?
Dog races, camel races, and ostrich races.
Ostriches are mean.
That's...
Oh, wow. You do ostrich races? There's an ostrich farm.
Apparently.
Not far from me.
Oh, I'm like terrified of ostriches. They're very mean. I saw some in college, like in person, and it was
yeah, they're dicks.
Well, that's got to be fun.
What a weird question.
I thought you would know. Come on, AJ.
Wait. I said corgi races because I see those all the time. That was my first instinct because I feel like everyone should do those because they're hilarious and awesome.
Camel races would be fun. Ostrich races, not so
much. I didn't even realize there was camels here in the United States, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
Outside of zoos. But come on.
If
you said this was Maidan race course and you said there were camel races, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe.
Right, but not in Texas.
Not the same Houston, no.
Well, that was my fun question of the night for Sam Houston. But there we have it. We have another other episode of Off the Rail in the books. I'm hoping that we might be able to put some money in people's pockets. And after this episode airs, we actually filmed our weekly show, which was just this past. Just yesterday, we talked a lot about what happened yesterday. Something happened with the Kentucky Derby. We went into that a little bit. We had our Hot Jockey of the Week sponsored by Fantac. Stay tuned for who that is on this this upcoming episode. Randy did another horse to watch. So that will be dropped at about 9 o'clock Eastern time on our YouTube channel. And if you folks haven't, if you can, like and subscribe. We don't beg. And some people out there beg, please, please, please,
subscribe.
Can you? Yeah, if anybody's out there or hasn't already, if you can just click the like and subscribe button, it is appreciated.
I also want to point out, Tom, this episode has already aired because it's live. So when you say when this episode airs.
Hey, I'm not the program director. I'm giving notes. I'm giving things to read. By management. I'm just the talent. I'm given things to read by management. So, but that is true. But if they can watch it, but they can watch it right.
They
after.
Can watch it afterwards. Yes.
Right after we are, AJ. Boy, I missed you being my partner. Joe is so nice and docile.
You're not going to get that from me. No.
No. No. But this was a learning experience. This was really,
this was a good one.
This is great, and Jessica, can't thank you enough. In all that, like I said, you just outside of Sam Houston, what and everything else that I've mentioned, what do you do in between everything else?
Well, I have a full-time job for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. I'm their director of communications. So we provide sanctuary for the horses that get hurt and can no longer go on to second careers. And then I have two off-the-track Thoroughbreds of my own. So they keep me busy enough.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that New York Times article that I was reading, telling you about earlier, that talks a little bit about that. And that's what you were one of the best comments yesterday on with Medina Spirit. Let's just talk about the horse. Let's not talk about any all the other nonsense. Let's talk. And that's what this sport needs, is not the pointing fingers. Hey, let's concentrate on this horse and other horses and where they're going after the track. And
Medina Spirit's just such a sad thing because he's the one who truly lost ultimately.
Exactly.
And not about the Derby. It's just, it's a really sad story.
It is. But hopefully we can learn, and that's all, learn and move on and not move on and not forget, but we can learn and see what happens. But Jessica, I really don't mean to end the episode on such a downer. We've had such fun.
No kidding. Real quick, where can they find you on social and everywhere?
You can find me at JM Puckett. Also training for a marathon again. Broke my back in October, so a week before my first marathon. So hopefully I can make it to Chicago in one piece this year.
Oh, Jesus, man. Well, that makes me feel terrible about myself.
Well, I said I can't drive as far as she runs, so she'll put stuff.
Now. I'm like still half on the vets list. Like I'm an old broke down claimer, but like game. Trying to finish your game.
Hey, I did a couple 5Ks. I've done a 5K every month for the past 4 or 5 months, and I feel like I'm an all-star. So I
doubtful. Sure, absolutely.
I you're can't do anything more than that.
Yeah, you cannot convince me that you've done a 5K.
I've got the shirts to prove it, brother.
Yeah. Well, everyone who just shows up to support the runners gets a shirt, I think, don't they?
No. You have to finish. No. You get one if you finish.
Yeah. You knew somebody who was in the race. I can't.
Anyway, you're the worst. I miss Joe. Joe just said, yes, sir. No, sir. Anything I can do to help, sir. Then I'm left with this knucklehead. But everybody, thank you. Oh, hey, I forgot to mention, we do have our own stuff out there. We have our own merchandise out there on fan-tech.com. A lot of great stuff that they're doing with jockeys. I mean, you go anywhere. You go to a basketball game, you see LeBron jerseys, you see Dr. J jerseys. What Cavern and Fantech is doing is fantastic with all the jockeys and seeing a Danny Centano hat at Delaware Park this summer. I'm going to be so happy seeing Umberto Raspoli shirts at Santa Anita.
You're going to see them like out in the wild.
That's going to be so freaking amazing.
Like, I get so excited when I see like a Suffolk Downs hat, like all this million in the world, or like a Saratoga t-shirt or anything.
Right.
Like that's when you get excited. Cause then you know it's your people.
Oh yeah. Well, I put on Twitter a couple months ago, I was at Home Depot and there was a guy that had a Saratoga bumper sticker. I waited. I took a picture of it. I'm like, should I wait and talk to him? People are like, sure. So I didn't like, I kind of like made like I was just getting out of the car and I'm like, oh, that's an awesome sticker, buddy. Oh yeah, I was up there this summer. Yeah, definitely.
And now you have a restraining order. That's awesome.
Yeah, no. I went to Home Depot and there were some dudes standing by my car.
Small, but there's not many of us. That's what's great. Yeah. That's what's so great about the sport. And it's like what we always talk about, jockeys and trainers are so accessible. And you know, there's some of us are crazier than others, but that's what sets us apart from everybody, you know, so many football, baseball, basketball fans. There's not many of us out there. But everybody who joined us tonight, thank you. I hope you had as much fun as we did. And I might tweak my picks to what the in-house handicappers picked because Jessica taught us a lot tonight. And AJ, thanks. Good to have you back, my man.
Good to be back.
We might be going to Florida next Tuesday. I don't know yet, but we shall see. For Jessica, for AJ, for all the Triple Clowns, including me, we are the Triple Clowns, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Do you know how to end it, or do you want me to do it? I don't know.